Here we go.
Thank you for tuning in today to the United We Strike Marathon. We have with us today Michael Shaw, Charles Irwin, and Clint Richardson. We're talking about this very deleterious agenda for the 21st century. Just understand, folks, no one came to you to ask. They probably won't ever do it, and they're dug in like ticks, and it's going to be difficult to get them out. But as we broke away from the last hour, I was telling you, you really have to make a decision. Do you want an American way of life that you have some kind of freedom and property rights, or do you just want your life to be dictated to you? Because the new agenda that's coming on, it simply says you will act how you are told and you will like it. And that's pretty much what your rights are going to be. And I point out in my broadcast periodically, if someone wants to go look at it out, we all have civil rights in the country, United States, but it was based in what, as Charles Irwin is saying, the legalism. They invested in you certain civil rights, which are called equal rights, and you can find those at 42 United States Code, Section 1981. And your rights, equal rights, are to pay punishments, pains, penalties, fees, fines, and exactions of every kind, and no other. So if you ever had I don't know if in that list I didn't hear unalienable rights. So the government of Lincoln didn't want people, the freed people, to have any more rights than they were gave. And so this is just a continuation of that, because if you listen very carefully, you're finding, as Michael Shaw was stating in last hour, over and over, you will be subject to code restrictions and you will pay more fees. That's what it's about. They get you to enslave yourself. So if that's the future that you want, then maybe you're listening to the wrong program. But if you have any inkling at all that there's something wrong with that, please continue listening over this next hour. And Michael and Charles and Clint will flesh out some more. Let me just say...
The whole rights thing, civil rights are legal. We're born with natural rights from God, which are lawful rights. Civil rights can be taken away, so the whole civil rights movement was just a trick to take away our natural rights. The term unalienable, it's not unalienable, it's unalienable. You've got rights that are inalienable, which you can sign away per the Constitution or contract, and you have other rights which are unalienable, which you cannot sign away, which is your God-given natural rights, which the Constitution, the original Constitution, protects. So there's a difference between
that. Well, that's the beauty of the American experiment, because America is the only place that has ever politically recognized the notion of, I know it's said unalienable by some, but it's the same word, unalienable. The unalienable or unalienable rights are rights that Locke identified as being inherent to the human nature, and America is the first and only country that's recognized that. The problem is today we simply don't, for reasons that Charles points out. The advent of civil law has replaced. I mean, that's the idea of a civil society that libertarians talk about. That's part of the globalist agenda. You have civil rights. Civil rights are those are given to you by government. And of course, if government thinks that rights come from them, the idea of unalienable rights fades into history. And even though human beings are vested with unalienable rights, if you don't get the political recognition of it, you simply become fodder for centralized government control. And that's what Agenda 21 is bringing us to.
Well, that's the acquiescence. That's the encroachment. So yes, we want to understand what that encroachment is. So as we were coming from the break, you had these three more different things to discuss, and let's go ahead and flesh this thing out and get people.
Okay, we're talking about.
I want to get to the point where people start understanding that there's a hierarchy that they can use to identify this thing that's coming on them and at them, as my friend and co-host William Roberts says, it's coming on you and at you, and you better be able to deal with it, and you better be able to deal with it, and the only place you can is doing it local, folks. You're not going to do this by going to the president, or the unqualified one, as I call him. You have to get down in your town. So, Michael, continue, please.
Okay, so the three E's, the first we've just discussed, that's equity, it's the system of justice. The second is economy. It's about the international redistribution of wealth. The Earth Charter, which is part of the Agenda 21 dynamic. The Earth Charter is a short document written by Rockefeller, Stephen Rockefeller, the son of Nelson Rockefeller. It was written by Maurice Strong, who was Secretary General of the UN at the Rio de Janeiro conference in 1992. He's now a fugitive of Western law, so he runs Agenda 21 in China. And the third author of the Earth Charter was the Soviet dictator Mikhail Gorbachev. Now, the Earth Charter is taught in American schools. The authors of the Earth Charter say that the Earth Charter is to replace the Ten Commandments. Well, the Earth Charter says that wealth is to be redistributed within and between nations. So when we get to the economy section of Agenda 21, which calls for the international redistribution of wealth, that is designed and has been used to strip America of its wealth. And we're about to feel the effects of that as things move along. Now, there's a second element to the economy section of these three E programs, and that is it's about the creation of public-private partnerships and the end of the era of private property. Now, we've talked about public-private partnership. It's really just a sweet-sounding name for fascism, and it's how the American economy increasingly runs, and the executive order from George Bush is proof enough of that, but all you need to do is go into your town and see the partnerships, all kinds of partnerships, real estate development partnerships for sure, between the city and their favored developers. So economy is to change the nature of American free enterprise and substitute it with the Agenda 21 fascist economic system. Now, that's two E's, equity, the system of justice, and economy, the system of economics in a community. The third E is the one that loops all the American people into supporting sustainability. That third E is environment. Oh, we must protect the environment, proclaim the Agenda 21 sponsors. And to do that, we got to take control of the landmass. But what is environment really?
They don't tell us that the environment that they're talking about is the construct that the prison they're building for everybody.
Well, that's right, because we'll talk about the land use programs out of Agenda 21 shortly. But by environment, they don't mean protecting clean air, clean water, and making sure that I don't pollute your property. By environment, they mean putting nature above man. In fact, Agenda 21 says that all species are to be treated equally, sort of like Animal Farm. You know, the Agenda 21 protocol actually says that other species and bugs and plants and even inanimate objects like certain rocks are of equal or greater importance than human life itself.
That's why, as in the mining law, I always use the phrase that I noticed this was coming down with you read IUCN.org and the agendas behind the biodiversity treaty and all that. And you find out when you come to reading it that rocks have more rights than humans based on this odd theology that rocks have not ascended to the highest level of awarenesses that humans have. And therefore, essentially, humans are the scourge on the earth called Gaia. And that's one of the elements of this, isn't it? The deep, now that humans are now the scourge, that rocks have more rights, essentially, like everything else, is at least equally, that there's too many humans, and so the humans have to be culled?
Well, that's exactly right. We're seeing that concept come out of the Obama administration. He's got a czar of something who is openly stated that animals need to have legally protected rights. And all this is the idea to push the status of human beings down into chattel of a ruling elite. That's why we've got to be so careful. And you know, Agenda 21, as a side note, calls for an 85% reduction in human population. So that's the proof of the pudding that we're dealing with maniacal people.
Yeah, psychopaths.
The problem
absolutely is
they're now everywhere.
Go ahead there, Charles.
You know, if I may, I may cut in here, I'm fighting a huge battle that you guys might know about, and as I'm listening to Michael talk, I'm realizing that I've been fighting this battle without realizing that it's absolutely Agenda 21. Now, I wrote an article called The Sheriff Who Sold His County, and fortunately that's been posted on many larger websites like Rents and Steve Quayle. It's been all around the place, everywhere. And basically what's happened here in Salt Lake County is that our sheriff, the county mayor, the mayors of each individual city participating in the unincorporated areas of our county and the county council have dissolved the sheriff's department while the sheriff's office is still in place, and the elected sheriff is still the sheriff. They created what's called a special district, special tax district, special financing district, and entered into a district. All of the police, or excuse me, the sheriff's deputies transferred over, lost their deputyship, and became essentially private police officers. It's still a government entity, but it is a district. Alongside that district, they created what's called a special tax district, or a special service area, which is the same thing as the UPD, the Unified Police District. However, the sole purpose of the Salt Lake Valley Law Enforcement Service Area is to collect a fee, is to collect revenue and forward it to the Unified Police District, which again now has all of the sheriff officers that used to be sheriff and now are private police, also all of the police officers that were already within the area. So what we've got, and what I came to find out, is that this funding area, this service area, is a public-private partnership with a company that is a non-governmental company called NBS, and their website is nbsgov.com. And basically, this service area was created. The only people that are actually in the service area as the controlling board of directors are two county council members and the mayor, while the sheriff is CEO, chief executive officer of the Unified Police District. But the funding district, which is the public-private partnership, along with this, basically everything that's happening in that district is happening because of this private corporation in California, of all places, called NBS. Now, when I look at their client list, I see that under cities and towns, we have the city of Chula Vista, city of Long Beach, city of Los Angeles, city of Sacramento, and city of San Diego, city of Alameda, city of Carlsbad. I see school districts, and I see that it says public agencies of every type and size. NBS has provided services to more than 250 local government agencies, including cities, towns, and municipalities, counties and parishes, special districts, education and school districts, and joint authorities. So basically, these three people in government, the council and the mayor, have created this district using a private partnership, a public-private partnership, and all the billing and collections go to this private corporation in California. Now, what they've done is they've bypassed the laws by creating these districts, and they are allowed to, according to their own legal codes, which is what we were talking about earlier, they made it so that they can charge a fee. It's not a tax, or they don't call it a tax, but they call it a fee. Now, if you don't pay that fee, and they call it a police protection fee, which just really gets my goat, but if you don't pay this police protection fee, they can then, they gave themselves the power to attach that fee onto your property tax. If you don't pay your property tax, they then have the power to take your home. And this, what I'm realizing now, is very, very, very much an article of Agenda 21. Am I correct, my friend?
Well, yes, you are.
He just described the methodology, hasn't he?
Well, that is one application of the methodology. I would suggest you look at that California corporation and find out if they're an NGO. And if they are, then you know for certain that they are accredited by the United Nations for purposes of implementing Agenda 21 wherever they go. They certainly are implementing Agenda 21. I would not be surprised if they were an NGO.
Well, I'm
unfortunately, the legal system is a system where you can just make up anything as you go. I mean, anything goes in the legal system. If you look, there's also International Association of Chiefs of Police is probably in there as well. These guys meet just like the Bilderbergers once a year in secret. You know, I don't know why our chiefs of police would need to meet, because laws and jurisdictions of different countries are not the same. So that's more inner workings of a police state.
It's turning out that this is happening all over the... since I wrote this and have been exposing this, and I interviewed the mayor and the sheriff, I'm finding out that it's happening not only all over the country, and has been for the last 30, 40 years, but it's also happening all over the world. So it is actually a global thing. What I'm also finding is that these districts, you know, when we traditionally think of a district, and this is a third layer of government, essentially, and that's why I'm seeing that it's a UN treaty type of thing. We think of districts as things with borders. In other words, a school district butts up with another school district. But these are logical districts, meaning that you can be in 1,000 different districts, and none of them have anything to do with the other. It's like each function of government is being relegated over to these districts. So I have a water district, I have a sewer district, I have a television district, I have a fiber optic cable district. I have about 30 districts that if I went down the list I could think of right now. And each one of those is being set up to take over a certain part of my government, and I'm having to pay a small fee for each one of those. And again, if I don't pay the fee, they put a senior lien against my property tax, my property essentially, my deed, my title. And they will take my home if I protest and don't want to pay that tax. And that is happening all over the country, so, and the world. By the way, we have, just in Salt Lake County here, coming up this month, we have the National Association of Governors that is going to be meeting here. And also, just recently, the International Association of Mayors met in another country. Mayors from all over the world. So, yes.
Yeah, probably an organization dynamic, the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives. They yes. coordinate cities around the world. They actually operate a shadow world government. And their claim, they're an NGO, their claim is that the United Nations is going to change itself into the United Cities of the world. Because the goal, really, in this globalist movement is to break down national authorities and to create a global system of local government, all pursuant to the global governance order and directive. And this organization, ICLEI, again, that's the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives, which has contracts with over 600 American cities, including Bloomberg-led New York. And what ICLEI does is when it comes in and makes a contract with your city, it brings in their experts in your planning or community development departments, and they create a system of laws that work to abolish private property. And when ICLEI contracts with the city of Santa Cruz, where I am, it then takes hold of all the regional governing apparatus that exist in a community, things like regional transportation systems, regional air, regional water. And so all this fourth layer of unconstitutional or extra-constitutional government that exists in America today, which has existed for 50 years now, 40 or 50 years, is coming into its own as ICLEI then begins to direct these regional governance apparatus, which is why water is becoming difficult and expensive to obtain, and which is why roads aren't being improved, why transportation systems are moving to bicycle lanes and bus systems and high-speed rail systems. All of the globalist agenda is infused when your city, like my city, contracts with ICLEI. And if you say, well, my city's not contracting with ICLEI, All I have to need to point is if there's an ICLEI city within five counties of you, then your city is affected because the regional governing outfits take their lead and directions from this international NGO called ICLEI. And the good news there, we talk about good news from time to time here, the good news there is this year, so far, a handful of cities have had their residents become abriled with their city leaders' contracts with ICLEI. Now, when you contract with ICLEI, you pay tax funds for their services. So it's really a violation of the Constitution, which prohibits states from engaging in international diplomacy or international governmental contracting arrangements. And so a handful of cities have unceremoniously canceled their contracts with ICLEI as this rage begins to sweep the United States. And it's the big first step in organizing a defense is to get one of these rude organizations out of your local community and awaken the citizens of your community in the process to what it is that's been going on and how it is you can bring a halt to it in your town.
Well, and that's exactly what I was just suggesting in the first hour. We came to surprise. We found ourselves in the shadow of the eight ball in a local county here where it was not ICLEI, but it's a different type of a corporation that's come up. Doing some investigation now, we found out that even though they're 501c4, they're supposed to be an educational organization, they're actually situated in their bylaws to state that they are a government, and they are actually, under Title 31 of the United States Code, a financial institution, and that they had just put a strategic plan in the works that, in the context, in the statement, said that they were going to essentially abolish the existing government and install their own, where they would be leading it. Now, there must be some territorial agreement between ICLEI and this organization, because this organization, and the word you used was regionalism, that's another key word to recognize. Anytime you hear the word regional or regionalism, that's exactly identifying this organization. But they were about to take this county down. Now, I do a lot of mining law work, and I have an association. I work with the mining association with miners who get beat down by this agenda in the wilding of the nation's public lands, the modernization, the jurisdictionless, the coagulation of the public lands agenda that's going on. It's all coming out of this agenda. So I'm on the front lines of fighting this on that side. But when I heard about the strategic plan and that they were going to demolish this county, I was able to gather up quite a few people. And so the good news is, as Michael, as you're saying, that you can start to turn this around. I can't say we've stopped it. We were able to interrupt some funding, but they're that well organized. So you can't. This is not just a one shot. Go and make an argument. Go away. People, the listeners, you're going to have to engage, and it's going to have to be almost, I would have to say, the rest of your life. These people aren't going away. What would you say to that? And about this about education too. How are they? I think it's just as much a threat that they're educating our little ones to the future.
Well, there's no doubt about that. Chapter 25 of Agenda 21 calls for the need to, quote, enlist and empower children and youth in reaching for sustainability. The state of California passed a law that says sustainability has to be taught in every class. If your high schooler has got six sessions, every one of those courses has to have a lesson in sustainability. You can take French, but you got to learn sustainability. So it is fully embedded in our educational system. The Department of Education is the largest institution in the world. It is fully dedicated to rearing the next generation of Americans as global citizens. The remarkable thing is that a poll in 2009, taking a census on that year's high school graduates and that year's college graduates, found that over 50% of that year's graduates identified themselves as global citizens and not as Americans. So you see, the educational system is working for the sustainablers. And all I can say is, get your kids out of school.
You know, Hal, you said a word that I think we need to explore a little too, because what I'm finding in my state here is, and with school districts, with police, with the fire, who's also been turned into a district, is that they title these, and even before they turned them into districts, they made them what's called multi-jurisdictional. And we need to understand what that means, because basically through these types of contracts, they are taking jurisdiction, which is actually something that protects people. But they're taking jurisdiction, and they're pretty much breaking down all the walls to where, at this point, I mean, I have a guy in California telling me that their police out there in Los Angeles have jurisdiction now in Arizona and New Mexico and Nevada. That states are starting to have multi-jurisdictional authority, meaning that we're going to have a police state in no time at all. And already in my area, we do have that. So if we just look at the basic definition of jurisdiction, it basically says the power, right, or authority to interpret and to apply the law. So the power and the right or authority to interpret and apply the law. Well, guess what? I look and see what the qualifications to be a police officer in the Unified Police District, and to have that multi-jurisdiction, all I need is a high school education. So this word jurisdiction is a big part of this, because I'm finding that everything is becoming multi-jurisdictional.
The thing about the term multi-jurisdictional is almost like it's a misnomer, isn't it, Michael? I mean, the fact is if you have multi-jurisdictional, you don't have a jurisdiction at all at some point. And this word jurisdiction is absolutely critical to the mining law, the mining mineral grantee, the grant of the United States of America to all citizens. This word authority and the word jurisdiction. It's absolutely critical to get an understanding. But multi-jurisdictional really doesn't have a sense. It's just sort of a mishmash of two words that can't exist together.
Well, I think that's right. I think it all comes down to the concept, the political concept of regionalism. And regionalism is the effort to abolish political boundaries and thereby to abolish our representative form of government. So understanding regionalism is really key, I think, in getting to an understanding of sustainable development. You got to realize that the globalist world order and its action plan called Agenda 21 seeks to abolish political boundaries.
Well, and
a world without borders.
And so that is why we are in, we're not only in a federal district, one of the 10, we're also in a FEMA district, we're in a state district. There's the districts just kind of lay on top of each other, the regions, I should say, which is basically the same definition as a district, correct?
That's right. And there is a formalized system of government based on the concept of regionalism. You know, Charlotte Isaby, a former United States official in the Department of Education during Reagan's term, and she was there to cancel out the Department of Education. Of course, that didn't work out. She became a black sheep of that department. But what she says is that regionalism is communism. I say, well, regionalism is also fascism. The point is that regionalism is not the American system of government, and yet today we have federally authorized regional governance apparatus that covers every square inch of America. You can take California, for example. California, part of that National Association of Regional Councils, has an organization called CalCOG, the California Council of Governments. Now, that's divided into 36 areas in the state. The state has 58 counties and 36 regions under CalCOG, the Council of Governments. And what this is it brings governmental agencies together on a multi-county basis in order to impose all the requirements that local governments must meet. Now, nobody elects the people at CalCOG. Nobody elects the people at metropolitan planning organizations, but the money comes from the federal government, and then the federal government, through this tier of government that you never study in eighth grade in your civics class, this tier of government tells your local governments, your counties and your cities, what they must do. So we've lost even our local representatives when it comes to our governance today, because this new system, all part of Agenda 21, has been in place for a very long time.
And I would just say that this new system is really an old system. It's really the legal system. that it's the legal system of the United States Federal Corporation. The states are incorporated. The counties and cities are incorporated. It's really an incorporated legal system that's being used to take away all our property rights and our natural rights and every other freedom we have in this country.
Well, but it's not the formation of the states, counties, and cities that do that. It is the formation of councils of governments, because council of governments is defined to serve an area of several counties to address issues to include regional and municipal planning, economic and community development, cartography and GIS, hazard mitigation and emergency planning, aging services, water use, pollution control, transit administration, and transportation planning. Your city councils and your county board of supervisors have nothing to do with these things, really, because they're told what to do by this unelected, secretive regional authority called a council of governments.
Yeah, they're allowing the legal system to take away our rights, and they're listening to them.
Yes.
They're using the legal system instead of the lawful system, is all I'm saying.
Yes. Okay. Fair enough.
I'd like to actually. I'm glad you brought up the GPS GIS system, the spatial planning, because that's integral. I noticed in the COGS, if anybody listeners of folks, if you list, get on the internet if you can, type in the words that Michael's using. Type in these things and start doing some research. You find out that this thing is well planned. It's from the top to the bottom in this government. We've been surrounded and infiltrated for such a long time, you don't even recognize it anymore. They did a good job on it. And the thing is that when you start seeing the interconnectedness of this, it is global. The strategic plan that I was reading about that was being submitted by this what we called SOREDI, S-O-R-E-D-I, Southern Oregon Regional Economic Development or something like that, they actually were saying that it went started with the county, they demolished the county, it went regional, which means it took up all the counties around it, and then because they have now an international airport, which is in a free trade zone, in the middle of it, they then went to the fact that everybody would then adhere to global guidance, and it's right in the strategic plan. So any of you that have never heard of this, you just need to engage yourself. I tell you that it's a worthy study if you plan on keeping your house or keeping your property. I think there's a way to fight all this. A lot of it's going to have to be understanding what this property, the soil, the patents that you have are, how the government doesn't have a right to reclaim what it had conveyed, and we will be able to push this back. But we can't do it when we think that we are under the servitude of all this code enforcement, which really is nothing. It isn't lawful, and it cannot stand against a substantial lawful reproach or renunciation of those systems. Michael, we're getting down about the 25 minutes point here, and I don't want to run too far beyond anything you wanted to make sure the listener needs to hear, because this is such an important I can't say it any more than what I entered into. We are in a war, whether or not it looks like one or not. We are in a war, and people have to take it that serious. And so I want you to make sure that you have whatever it is you want to say that people need to know to inspire them to go and work against this.
Well, I want to describe the Sustainable Development Land Use Programs for the United States. Your comment about war, I'd say war has been declared on us. I don't know that we're in a war because we have not responded to the war that has been declared upon us. But once we understand this information, then the response will become clear. And, this is the war to be fought on Khrushchev's terms, that is, without guns. This is a war of ideas, and we've got to begin to understand what their idea is if we're going to counter it, because the only way we can counter a bad idea is to expose it. So let's talk about the land use programs of sustainable development. It basically breaks into two categories, the Wildlands Project and Smart Growth. Now, many people have heard of one or both of those terms, may not really know what it's all about. So let's describe them. The Wildlands Network. The Wildlands Network is the plan to eliminate presence on at least 50% of the American landscape, to eliminate human presence, that is, on 50% of the American landscape, and to heavily control activity on most of the rest of the American land. So we see examples of the piece-by-piece implementation of the Wildlands Network by seeing all the roads that are being closed in the wildlands, by seeing the policy of breaching dams. You know, Northern California and Southern Oregon is going through a wipeout of essentially all the dams up in that area. And it's happening elsewhere, other places, and by the adoption of United Nations World Heritage Sites. My county has a UN World Heritage Site up on the top of the mountain, and of course, this is, you know, putting in that claim stake on behalf of global governance organizations on the American landscape. And we can certainly see through legislation from Congress, wildland bills passing routinely that prohibit the extraction of resources. You see, in the wildlands, no resources are to be extracted. No people are to be there.
But, Michael, is rewilding not just sort of a code word for resource management? In other words, they're going to strip those lands at a later time?
Resource management, what was the term you used again?
In other words, are they not
rewilding.
Going to... I mean, they're basically laying claim to the mineral rights of those lands by hiding it amongst the environment, essentially, right?
Well, what they are trying to do is prohibit man's collection of resources, including water, including minerals. And the best way to do, I mean, let's face it, everything we have in the cities had its origin in the rural lands. If they can take these rural lands and put them off limits for human use, they then create the conditions that result in the contraction of human population.
But it's not necessarily human use as much as just the public use, right? I mean, it's still going to be used very much so in the corporate use.
Well, I think that the wildlands will be off limits to resource extraction. So it doesn't matter if you're on British Petroleum, a leader in sustainable development activities. British Petroleum cannot go and get the oil in the wildlands of Montana. Off limits.
Until the government says they can, though.
Well,
that's
but,
my question.
But under Agenda 21, it is not the intent of global governance to ever allow that.
Nor was it the intent of the Constitution to allow what's happening now. That's kind of the point.
Well, the Constitution gives the federal government, we'll start here, gives the federal government no authority to own or manage broad landscapes. So how is it the Department of Interior owns 40% of the United States?
Well,
The word
lands, well, there's lots of breaches already, and this is exactly, I have been in the war, there has been a war going on, I've been in it for 6 years, right on this point of the public land, so-called. There's another thing that people don't understand, it's called public domain. Those are specific use dedicated lands, of which mining claims are. Now, oil and gas, and I won't diverge too far, but just to lay this out a little bit, oil and gas are a disposable mineral, they weren't granted. There is a law in 1866, it's understood and generally to be the Load Law. It incorporated the conveyance of uncommon minerals, special deposit minerals. It provided for the conveyance of rights of way, which they claim was repealed by FLTMA, and it gave away the water. Now, these three things, and there's another thing that gave up, I don't want to get too deep. The point is that there's a conveyance by Congress that it doesn't own these lands. It is held in trust. What's the agenda is allowing, and we're not stopping, and we're doing that now actually in the people that I'm helping and how we approach this issue in addressing the federal government agencies. They don't have title to the land. They don't own it. They are a trustee they were supposed to, and they have agreed to, dispose of it. So this is the one thing that the agenda can't deal with, because they can't identify it as disposable land, because it's supposed to be held by the government. They use this word landscape. It's another word for the listeners to look up. That's not a normal word in the meta language of A21. Resources, it may be timber, but resources is not minerals, because once you extract them, they're gone. They're actually sources. They are also conveyed. In other words, there is a grant that cannot be trespassed and breached. And the very first encroachment that they try to do to try and withdraw these lands is a breach. And I can't tell you that we have this completed yet, but all these issues about the public lands and especially the uncommon granted disposable lands are now becoming into the courts. And you might be interested in this, Michael. There is a way, and I found a way in it. We've got a couple of four or five miners right now in a proper court. We've got a couple more attorneys that are bringing their clients into the proper court to absolutely go against this imposition, where they think the government, the agencies, have tried to take ownership, when in fact that's a breach. And you're exactly right. And so as soon as we get to terms that we understand, like you said, we have to understand this thing that's coming at us before we can address it. I've been studying that mineral side for about 6 years now, 18 hours a day at least. I think we have a way to address it, but it's going to take people standing up for the rights, not giving in like it's been going, because they have been doing that. They've been coming in, and they've been saying, oh, we're going to take this by withdrawal. And then the government, because of we're infiltrated in every department of the government, even the judiciary, that it's been up until just recently that we didn't know we had an authority to stop them. And so this is where you're saying we got to go local, and I tell everybody the same thing. It's down to the miner, the miner on the public domain, the one that has been granted his land. It's his exclusively possessed and enjoyed land, including all the surface. That's the mining law. That's no different than a patent issued for someone who exclusively owns, has conveyed to him authority and jurisdiction over that land. Now, if you have exclusive possession of authority and jurisdiction, that forecloses the government authorities outright. If they're holding only as a trust, they'd have nothing but to do and dispose by a constitution, if it still exists. Otherwise, they're a usurper on their face. So all these things can be addressed. We don't have the time to on this program, but this is what exactly we point out, and you said it earlier, Michael. They want and need to control property. They need to get us to believe that they own stuff, and I'm suggesting to you the public lands are not owned by the agencies, and there are grants that allow you to go get it for yourself, and Congress can say nothing, and the trustees of Congress, which are the federal agencies, have their hands tied, actually.
I'm not going to dispute anything that you said. All I will say is that the globalist objective is to put 50% of the American landscape off limits to anything. Okay? And clearly our agencies are moving that ball forward. You know, the people with grazing rights on federal lands are finding their cows are being thrown off. That's why ranchers, there's 50% the number of ranchers today as there were 20 years ago, because they are being squeezed by the federal government on these federal lands, notwithstanding century-long contracts for grazing rights. And so all the resource users are under pressure. And yes, there are defenses, and what you're talking about is a good, viable defense. But understand what you're up against when it comes to the globalist objective, which is shared by the federal government, and that is that these lands are to be considered wild lands and to be off limits to human beings and their resource extraction.
That's right. Well, that is the policy. I'm just suggesting we don't have to take that lying down. So,
fair enough.
Right. I'm not saying that that the plan doesn't go away. You are exactly right. They have they're trying to conglomerate the public lands back into jurisdictionless policies. They call them treasured lands too. They come up with all these terms, the warm and fuzzy terms. But you're right. They are in a land grab by any excuse. You're absolutely correct.
Right. Well, let's talk about the second land use program of Agenda 21.
Yes.
It's called smart growth. Now, most people have heard of smart growth. It's also called comprehensive planning, and it's got a few other terminologies that it goes by. But what smart growth is the The placement of human beings into what the UN calls human settlements, what the American governments call smart growth areas. And smart growth is characterized by the idea of stacking and packing people in a vertical context, high-rise residential development circumstances in these designated smart growth communities. It is its objective is to put everybody living where they work, or able to walk to their work, able to walk to their shops, able to live without a car. And that's why we see metropolitan areas develop and having developed over a long period of time in ways where automobility simply can't be used. You try to drive a car in West Los Angeles, it's very tough almost any time of the day. That's because the people have been jammed in, and the transportation services via highways have simply been planned to be inadequate. The idea now is that, you know, what people are taught in schools as they're growing up is the automobile is a bane on the earth, and that fewer people need to be around in the first place, and that none of those people need to have a car, that we all live and work in a walkable community. Smart growth is the rage everywhere. And these regional governing outfits that cover every square inch of America are forcing cities to implement smart growth policies. But people need to understand, because that's a term that's been out there for a while, that smart growth is an integral part of the Agenda 21 land use planning for the control of all human action.
Well, all human, so-called human development is a bane to the system of Agenda 21, isn't it?
It certainly is. So, at this point, we've had some general discussion. There's more obviously to be had, but general discussion of the land use element of Agenda 21, the political philosophy of Agenda 21. Some of the operators in Agenda 21, like the ICLEI organization, how regionalism plays a huge role in reshaping the American experience. And so I think we're to the point where a discussion of what it is people can do becomes timely.
Right. One more before we move, we can do a little bit of that. I think, Charles, you were interested in discussing A21 with regard to treaties?
Yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be, didn't you say it was a soft treaty, Michael?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the Constitution, and this is what Article 6, Section 2 of the Constitution on treaties, it says, "This Constitution and the laws of the United States which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby." That's what the legal system usually stops right there. But the end of that says, "Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding," which means that any legal law that's unconstitutional, any treaty that violates the original founding fathers' constitution, the constitution of a state, or our natural rights, cannot become lawful law. I mean, so the whole Agenda 21 treaty is legal, but it's unlawful and unconstitutional. And when people realize this, you know, like we're trying to teach them at United We Strike, you know, we get a big megaphone, maybe this crap will stop. Because this whole Agenda 21 issue in the United States of America is totally unconstitutional.
I think that's
Michael,
right.
Let's go ahead and let's move into it. Maybe if we can get a discussion on where you were going with that. We got this thing is sitting on us, and it's been kind of choking us off. Now that we got a sense of this, what is your suggestion for people? How do we address this?
Well, the first thing is you can't fight a fight that you don't know the terms of. You've got to understand Agenda 21. I recommend that people go to our website, freedomadvocates.org, which, you know, we've been building this for 10 years. A lot of people, a lot of effort, a lot of good writings, a good research center, so you can get the hardcore documents that are part of this. And that does take some work, but you cannot expect to win a war without putting some effort in. I'd rather fight this war than a hot war, even though in some regards it's more challenging, because we've got to get down, dig in, and find out how this war is being conducted against us. So that's the first thing one's got to do. You got to know what Agenda 21 is, because I'll tell you, if you go out and start fighting Agenda 21 without knowing what it is, you're going to be shooting yourself in the foot.
Well, see, this very much applies to me in my current situation. Like I said, I'm just now realizing that this is, in fact, very akin, or is, in fact, Agenda 21. One of the things that's really driving me in my fight, and keep in mind, I'm taking on the whole sheriff's department, which is now unlawful, the whole county council, and I'm going to start a recall campaign for the whole Don Lard of them, But what I'm basing this on is a certain story that I found, and this... You know, if nothing else hits this home, and why this type of districting and this Agenda 21 is so darn dangerous, there's a story in the Huffington Post, and I'm just going to read it to you because this is absolutely what you must understand. Firefighters watch as home burns. Gene Kranich's house destroyed in Tennessee over a $75 fee. All right? So firefighters, Kranich lives outside of the city limits, and he admits that he forgot to pay a $75 annual fee that would have provided him with fire protection. So we now have a unified fire district and a unified police district. So this is the same exact thing, and it's probably the same thing in your town that you don't even know about. And that $75 annual fee would have provided him with fire protection. Firefighters, however, wouldn't lift a finger, much less the hoses that might have saved his house. The fire reportedly started in some barrels outside. As the flames crept closer to the home, Kranich says he offered to pay whatever it would take. The plea fell on deaf ears, and hours later the home was gone, and so were three dogs and a cat. And he says that they could have saved it if they just put water on it, but they didn't. While firefighters actually put out a fire in the neighboring field for someone who did pay the fee. So what we have here, and what Michael alluded to earlier, is actually the purposeful erasing of ethics and of values in these types of government offices, to the point where there is no sane person, whether it's a neighbor, a friend, or a policeman, or a fireman, or anybody, who would watch a home burn, or anything for that matter. You don't just stand around and do these things. But you see, what's happened is that these gentlemen who had hoses in their hands wouldn't put out the fire because a $75 fee was not paid. And this is our future. So imagine now, if in my case, if I'm paying a police fee, and I don't pay that fee, and let's say my daughter is getting raped, my home is getting broken into, or any countless number of things, and I have cops standing out there just watching it happen. This is our future if we don't change this.
Michael, we only have about 3 minutes left. Can you give us a 3-minute wrap up on what we can do about this kind of stuff, that even what Mark Clint was saying?
Okay, the first step, the easy mark, is to go after ICLEI in your town. You can go to our website, freedomadvocates.org, look at the ICLEI primer. You can find out what cities have contracts with ICLEI, find the one closest to you, get the people in that city up riled, cause them to understand what Agenda 21 is, what ICLEI's role is, and get ICLEI kicked out. Join the growing band of cities that are kicking ICLEI out as awakening begins to happen. That's the first and the easiest step. Now you say, well, my city's not in ICLEI, and I know we're being influenced regionally by ICLEI's actions in three towns over, but what else might I do? Well, I say then, look at regionalism. Look at the COGs and MPOs operating in your community, and cause that to be understood by others. Because these organizations of COGs and MPOs are claimed to be voluntary. So if your city is involved or your school district is involved in an MPO, Metropolitan Planning Organization, or a COG, a Council of Government, bring public awareness to the people about how this is an extra-constitutional layer of government that is totally ramrodding all of your local decision-making process, and get your community, your county or your city, your school district, out of the local COG. Now, you can research that and come to those conclusions. That information is available. Most people don't know it, but it's available. And those are the first two steps that I would suggest people take. To learn about Agenda 21, there are various sources. You know, I'll suggest you start with freedomadvocates.org. You can spend a lot of time there, or you can find some good summary writings and videos and audios that will help you understand this dynamic. But it's understanding what is Agenda 21. It's knowing what unalienable rights in the American experience are, and then fighting on the right side.
Well, and that's going to wrap it up for us, Michael. I appreciate your efforts and all that you've been doing over the years. Again, listeners, folks, freedomadvocates.org. That's Michael Shaw. Wonderful website for that. Look around his site to get a flavor for it. Metropolitanism. Metro's another word to go look it up. Been with Charles Irwin has been with us. AmericanFreedomBooks.com wrote a book, American Freedom, and we have Clint Richardson, TheCorporationNation.com. He's the producer and author of The Corporation Nation. Fascinating review, simple to understand. And I am your host, Hal Anthony with OracleBroadcasting.com. I do Behind the Woodshed on Sundays at noon o'clock Pacific. And thank you for listening. Michael, thank you, Clint, Charles. Appreciate all your help here.
No problem.
Thank you.